If, like me, you grew up in the 1970s, you remember all kinds of good television shows that we had back in those days, which can still be seen on reruns in certain channels. One that I enjoyed as a kid was Good Times. Good Times. If you remember Good Times, it had a good moral backbone to it. It's a good family show that depicted a black family that was struggling in the ghettos of Chicago, but at the same time, they were struggling to remain true to solid values. There was the Christian faith, the deep Christian faith of the mother that she tried to influence her family with. There was the hard work of the father, James Evans, who tried to instill in his family, along with his wife, virtues like honesty, integrity, responsibility, loyalty. It was a program that was designed and produced to help the black community to be proud and strong by sticking to those values that I just mentioned. The same values that make our country great and strong and make us as her people great and strong. But here we are, over 40 years after all this. And what do we see? The very problems that the Evans family in Good Times is fighting against, we see as overflowing now from out of the inner city, flowing into the rest of the country. We see the minority struggle that spread to all cultures, all backgrounds, all populations. Problems stemming now from the ghetto into every community. Why? Why? Around that same time, two things were happening. A priest, soon to be a bishop by the name of Karol Wojtyła in Poland, was writing a book called Love and Responsibility, reminding his readers and the world that these two things go together. That when Jesus teaches us to love God, it means that we have a responsibility, obviously, to God to follow the commandments. If we love one another, we have a responsibility to one another to take care of one another. Love of self, however, disregards responsibility because it's all about me to begin with. It becomes very selfish. That's the mentality that began to spread in the world. The same thing happened in 1973 when, right before the TV show Good Times was produced, we legalized abortion in our country. And now you've got the rallying cry, oh, we need to keep abortion legal because it helps the poor and minorities. Forget about those values that I just mentioned, like faith and hard work, honesty, integrity, responsibility, loyalty, and true love. Rather, it's lust. Love for myself, my idea, my thing, everything my way with no responsibility whatsoever. And we see what that's done, not just to the black community, but to the whole nation and spreading into the whole world. Not too long ago, Pope Francis canonized Saint Teresa of Calcutta. And she was one who showed love and responsibility in everything that she did and was a staunch advocate for life as God intends. She addressed the National Prayer Breakfast in our nation in Washington, D.C. on February 3rd, 1994. I was a seminarian at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland at the time when she did this. I wasn't there at the prayer breakfast, but boy, did we hear about it right after because of what she said and what the reaction was. Now, somebody asked me politely yesterday, well, if you were so close, why didn't you go? I was in school. That's why. We were in class, but Mother did have a mass, however, at the National Shrine for the final profession of some of her sisters, at which we were able to attend. So I was there for that. But at this National Prayer Breakfast, 1994, St. Teresa of Calcutta said this, I believe that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, then how can we tell other people not to kill one another? How do we persuade a woman not to have an abortion? As always, we must persuade her with love. And we must remind ourselves that love means to be willing to give until it hurts. Jesus gave even his life to love us. So the mother who is thinking of abortion should be helped to love, that is, to give until it hurts. Hurts her plans, hurts her free time, to respect the life of her child. The father of that child, whoever he is, must also give until it hurts. By abortion, the mother does not learn to love, but even kills her own child to solve her problems. And by abortion, the father is told that he does not have to take any responsibility at all for the child that he's brought into this world. That father is likely to put other women into the same trouble. So abortion just leads to more abortion. Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. This is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. I will tell you something beautiful. We are fighting abortion by adoption, by care of the mother and adoption of her baby. We have saved thousands of lives. We have sent word to the clinics, to the hospitals and police stations, please don't destroy the child. We will take the child. So we always have someone tell the mothers in trouble, come, we will take care of you. We will get a home for you and your child. And we have a tremendous demand from couples who cannot have a child themselves. But I never give a child to a couple who have done something not to have a child. Jesus said, anyone who receives a child in my name receives me. By adopting a child, these couples receive Jesus. But by aborting a child, a couple refuses to receive Jesus. Please, don't kill a child. I want the child. Please give me that child. I'm willing to accept any child who would be aborted and to give that child to a married couple who will love the child and be loved by the child. From our children's home in Calcutta alone, we have saved over 3,000 children from abortion. These children have brought such joy and love to their adopting parents and have grown up so full of love and joy. I know that couples have to plan their family, and for that, there is natural family planning. The way to plan the family is the natural way, natural family planning, not through artificial contraception. In destroying the power of giving life through contraception, a husband or wife is doing something to self. This turns the attention to oneself, and so it destroys the gift of love in him or her. In loving, the husband and wife must turn the attention to each other, as happens in natural family planning, and not to themselves alone, as happens in contraception. Once that living love is destroyed by contraception, abortion follows very easily. I also know that there are great problems in the world, that many spouses do not love each other enough to practice natural family planning. We cannot solve all the problems in this world, but let us never bring in the worst problem of all, and that is to destroy love. And this is what happens when we tell people to practice contraception and abortion. We are not social workers. We may be doing social work in the eyes of some people, but we must be contemplatives in the heart of the world. We must bring that presence of God into every family, for the family that prays together stays together. Keep that in mind. The family that prays together stays together. There is so much hatred, so much misery, and we with our prayer, our sacrifice, are beginning at home. Love begins at home, and it is not how much we do, but how much love we put into what we do. So she concludes, if we remember that God loves us, and that we can love others as he loves us, then America can become a sign of peace for the world. From here, a sign of care for the weakest of the weak, the unborn child, must go out into the world. If you become a burning light of justice and peace in the world, then you will really be true to what the founders of this country stood for. God bless you. When Mother Teresa finished that talk at that National Prayer Breakfast, the crowd there thundered in applause. They rose to give her a standing ovation. Only two people, very conspicuously, did not clap and did not smile and did not stand. They made their disapproval very clear by doing neither of these, but rather by sitting very unhappily, stone-faced. Those two were President Bill Clinton and his wife, Hillary. No surprise there. If I may continue, when Mother Teresa did die, Hillary Clinton was sent to India as a representative of our country for the funeral, and the photographs show very clearly that she was not happy to be there. This is not a political speech. I'm just giving you solid truth. This is what truth is, that we are a people of life, that no matter what the outcome of the upcoming elections, we as Christians, as Catholics, as human beings, cannot and will not accept any sin that goes directly against the value of human life. It's not legitimate at all. Not just about the unborn, but the unborn, the elderly, the sick, the aged, every human being, every human person made in the image and likeness of God is life worthy of life. Any sin against it is not legitimate, but rather a pestilence in our society and upon our world. If you ever wonder why the devil is so systematically trying to destroy or discredit the Catholic faith, it's quite simply because we are the last thing, the only thing over us in this world, the only human thing that can destroy his power and his influence, because we are divinely founded and divinely guided by the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ, and he hates that fact that we are a people of life. It's up to us, however, as Christians, as Catholics, to have that strong family foundation, as Mother Teresa said, first of all, of prayer. The family that prays together stays together. A family foundation with a strong father figure who is hardworking, faithful to his God, his wife, and his family, who sets boundaries and raises expectations, rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior. To have a wife at his side who supports him in this and likewise is faithful to her God, her husband, and her family, who assists him in raising those expectations and setting boundaries, who rewards good behavior, punishes bad, but does so with a mother's loving and nurturing heart. This has worked since the dawn of humanity. It will continue to work if we put it into practice. All sins against human life, abortion in particular, is quite simply unnecessary. As Jesus says, whoever received a child such as this in my name receives me. As the first reading told us, the world can be filled with violence, and violence begets violence. Abortion does that, as Mother Teresa told us. We are not to harden our hearts, but be filled with the Spirit of Christ. Don't be upset with me. I was ordained to preach the truth, as St. Paul told Timothy. That's what I do. But all of us together as the body of Christ must put that truth into practice and to live it and defend it. Let us do our duty then, as Jesus told us, to love and to serve, to sustain life, natural life and supernatural life. After all, that's why we're here, to be a people of love, of self-sacrifice, of service, upholding the sanctity of human life and destroying all the negative effects of abortion, contraception, murder, strife, all things that take away from the life that God wishes us to enjoy as people made in his image.